Over to you, Mike.
Thank you.
Are we going to end on a good note? Positive note.
You just passed it to me. What do you want to make?
What's been happening?
Remember what I do as a job. My job is to advise people on risk. So I don't come out there giving them the sales spiel. I just come out there telling them the honest other side of the sales spiel. So you go to a salesman, he gives you all the sales spiel. Then you come to me and I give you all the wrong side or the downside of it. And then you make a proper decision rather than just a sales decision.
Mike, just sorry to interrupt. There's a message from a listener says, "Hi, I would like to know if Mike Small has invested in Dubai."
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Would you like to answer?
What happened there was we lived in the lakes from when we started, 2003. So we went into Lakes when it first opened. I think it was August 2003. And we lived there. And when they came to sell, Emar came to sell it to us, and it was, I think it was 2.8 million for the three-bed Zulau, which was a nice house. And I looked at it and I said to Janet, I said, "I will buy that as long as you will let me sell it when it peaks, because it will peak. We're in a bubble." Now, Janet, and I said, "But what? If you're going to cry and say this is our home and blah, blah, blah," I said, "let's not buy it. Let's just rent it."
Right.
And again, so many factors came in because I was, 47 or 48 then, so I could only get a 13-year mortgage. That meant your cash flow going out each month was more than 30,000. All those things come into it rather than just making a spontaneous decision. Then and Janet said, no, I will cry. It is our home, so you can't sell it if it gets to a peak. And I had 4.5 million in my head. They actually hit 5.
Oh.
So we didn't buy it. We carried on renting. We did a deal with the landlord at 120 grand for 2 years, which was fabulous.
But do you not wish you had, though?
No, because it went down to 2. I mean, it went up to 5 and down to 2.
No, but if you'd had have gotten out at the peak, as you said.
Yes, but then Janet wouldn't have let me. So I'd have got very frustrated because she said, "No, this is our home. You can't sell it."
Right.
So I couldn't do that. Again, it's so many factors must come into a decision. I think people make decisions now as a speculator. It's simply, is it going to go up? Can I make money?
Mm.
And that is the wrong decision. That's the wrong criteria to buy a property, because a property has so many more dynamics behind it than just, can I make easy money? You know, that's what we've lived through. That's why we're in a credit crisis. That's why Americans are in massive problems on the street. That's why Spain is in a mess. That's why Greece, Ireland, they're all in a mess because people speculated on property. You've got to be careful. It's a home. Unless you're very rich and you're playing with property, and that's another reason why we're in the mess we're in, because the rich are playing with property.
Do you have any property, Mike?
Yeah, we have one in England. We have a little one in Maidenhead, which I would have sold, but Janet held on to. But we've got a son living in it now, so...
Well, that works then.
She wouldn't let me sell it now.
Right. No, definitely not.
But no, it is difficult. And there's no easy answer, don't get me wrong. There's no easy answer, but you have to go through all the criteria. Because it's so easy to be... and again, in 03, 04 here, or 04, 05, it was so easy to just buy something. And you have to understand all the risks. Otherwise, you can make a decision that can change your life.
Mm.
And that's my job, is to stop people making bad decisions. And then also to try and make people aware that there are factors out in this world which you can't control and you've got no hope of controlling. So when you've got 17 European countries all coming together and 16 of them agreeing that they said one thing, and Germany, who's got all the money, agreeing they said something completely different, again, I'd go with Germany because they've got all the money, you know, and I wouldn't listen to the Spanish or the Italians and the French, who all just want what they want. So what you've got this week is 4 days after they all agreed that it was earth-shattering, even Martin Wolf of the FT, who's a very experienced commentator, said a step in the right direction. And I thought, there's no step at all.
So we're really not any closer,
no,
are we?
Germany just said the money can go straight to the banks.
Yeah.
When we have a proper system in place. Mm. Now, that when has meant that Angela Merkel's popularity in Germany has gone up. She's actually riding high at the moment because the Germans realise she is not going to give the Spanish banks money when they don't live to the rules. Now, what are we seeing on the front page? I think it's the Gulf News today. I think it is. Here it is. Front page. Greek debt crisis. Socialist leader wants more time.
Right.
So, you know, if you're German and you're sitting there and you say, what are the chances of me actually getting an agreement with these people which they will live with? There's no chance. There's no chance of getting an agreement with the Greeks or the Spanish or the Italians or the French that they will ever agree and stick by rigidly. So you don't do anything until you've got it signed and sealed by them as to what they're going to do. And of course, there's nothing signed and sealed.
Exactly. So. And we're also waiting to see what's going to what's going to happen. I mean, do you think we're any closer there? Or they're any closer, I should say?
I think we're closer to the problem being understood by more people, which is not a good thing, but, you know, it's necessary. You cannot ever cure something until you know what the problem is. So until all these countries understand what the problem is, we're never going to get there. So, you know, it's like an illness. Until you diagnose it, you can't cure it. And at the moment, half of Europe just does not understand what a mess they're in. So I don't see how you can cure it until they do.
Just another comment on the previous question that came through, Mike, about asking you if you'd bought invested in a property here, saying, but it was the only basis that you would have bought to make money by selling at the top rather than buying it as a home, which you would still have.
No, that's not true, is it? People buy property for many different reasons. The trouble is we've created a globe of property speculators. We used to have people who bought a property to live in and to have as a home. That's what we used to buy property for. And yes, there were some wealthy people who bought more than one and had it and let it and got money for it as income, fine. But we got converted by a mass marketing media frenzy by the banks that everyone could be a property magnate. Everyone could borrow. Everyone could buy a property. I mean, look at all the adverts we saw for you know, you can be a landlord. You can make... I mean, even Chris and Richard were speaking earlier about the fact that, you know, you buy a property and as long as you've got an equal cash flow in terms of what you're paying on your mortgage and what you're getting as a from your tenant, fine. Well, again, you're speculating. And fine if that's a conscious decision, but I think a lot of people were doing it without being a conscious decision.
Right.
They just joined the bandwagon inadvertently. They didn't know they were doing it, but they were gambling. They were speculating with property, which is a very dangerous animal because you're normally borrowed, which means you're leveraged, which means you might have only 20% skin in the game. And if the property falls 20%, you've then lost everything you put in.
Yeah.
And that's very dangerous because it's a very highly leveraged way of investing.
Oh, well, I think that brings us to the end of the programme.
Though there was a great question, if I could just leave at least with the question. What did the Germans do different to have all the money?
They're efficient
question.
And they do things properly and they don't... And they never had a property bubble. They never had a property bubble. And their banks lent to companies to create businesses, not lent to people to play with property.
But I think they've also got
huge
a legacy
difference.
of you know, of the East and West and that kind of... I don't know. I think that also possibly, I'm speculating on this idea now, but, you know, I know of quite a few people that grew up in Eastern Germany and they say, you know, they still have this mentality of quite frugal living, not spending behind your means. And it's sort of like an ingrained psychology.
That is Northern Europe. Northern Europe is very much like that. Finland as well, Holland as well, that they don't live beyond their means. Southern Europe does, and England just goes balmy. You know.
What happened? I don't know. Anyway, balmy is not in the weather, unfortunately, because it's dreadful,
it's awful,
rain. I hope they get
good
rain for the tennis this afternoon on the final.
Let's
I don't know
who's Murray
rain,
shall we?
We'll see. See if he might give us a smile. What do you reckon? Thank you very much to both of you, as always. It's always wonderful to have you on the programme. Mike Small of VSM Consulting. And how can our listeners get a hold of you if they'd like to do so?
Get a hold of me very simply. Same system as I've had the last few weeks. Just text the letters VSM to number 5269.
Lovely. Thank you very much. And to Ludmila Yumalova, thank you, managing partner of Yumalova and Plefka Legal Consultants. And your website?
Website is www.lyhplaw.com.
Thank you very much to both
of you.
Look forward to welcoming you back next week.